I guess as somebody, most of you have probably ever heard this old expression that goes, be careful what you wish for because you just might get it. There have been several movies made along that theme, all of which involve some character wishing for something and getting it, only to find out it doesn't measure up to what their expectations were, or in fact might actually be worse than the condition they found themselves in. Many of us here will have had that same experience of imagining something, setting a goal, dreaming of an accomplishment, building it up in our minds until it feels like it may be the answer to all the hurt and disappointment in our lives. If only this, then I'll be happy. Only when we get there, we find out that it isn't at all what we hoped for. And in fact, we often feel worse than we did before because we are disappointed and we lose a little more hope. Several years ago, a much younger and more adventurous Rick was on vacation with his family and his best friend, also Rick, and you can imagine the fun my dad had with that. We found ourselves in Great Sand Dunes National Park in South Central Colorado. It is an otherworldly and amazing place, just dunes of sand in the middle of nowhere, looking for all the world like the Sahara Desert, plopped down in Colorado. And my friend Rick and I, being young and foolish, decided that we would climb to the very top of the dunes. Well, it was summer, sun was out and bright, and it was hot, and it wasn't long before we were trudging through that sand, wondering what in the world we had gotten ourselves into. We could see the top, though, so we kept plugging along. The only problem was that after we got to the top, there was another dune on the other side of that. Well, we decided we could do one more, only to find out, you guessed it, another dune, and then another, until utterly defeated, we gave up and made our way back to the camper. Because the idea of making it to the top didn't seem as exciting as it had when we started. It no longer seemed like the wish that we wanted to get, and we had lost all energy and desire and hope. There is a lot more energy in Isaiah 40. That's the verse where it says, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And that is written while the people are still in exile, yearning to breathe free, yearning to return home, wishing for a better future. Yes, there is a lot more energy than in chapters 56 through 66, which are written after they have come home, after they had gotten what they wished for. And as it turns out, only a few of them really returned, and what they returned to was a temple and an economy that was in shambles. Isaiah says it this way, your holy cities have become a wilderness. The prophet laments, and Jerusalem is a desolation. All our pleasant places have become ruins. Well, that chapter also begins with some of the saddest words in all of Isaiah. And I think they're said mostly because they are written after the liberation and after the celebration. After all that dancing in the streets, he writes, oh, that you would rip open the heavens and come down. See, the people of Israel were free at last, but they were still afraid. Do any of you know how they felt? How can it possibly be that we get the very thing we want the most and it robs us of all hope? Well, perhaps it is because we are longing for the wrong things, wishing for the wrong things. Perhaps our wishes aren't big enough. See, the prophet Isaiah was never one to dream small. And in today's reading, He shows us God's dream, God's wish, if you will, for creation, a dream that we can all take part in, a dream of a new heaven and a new earth, the kingdom of God. See, when we think about discipleship, we usually think of it on a personal level, and there is much truth in this. Following Christ must impact our lives, our personal lives, in profound ways, including our beliefs, values, relationships, ethics, even the way we spend our time and our money. But this is small dream stuff. Important, but certainly not the whole picture. Because we are talking about the kingdom of God now. So Christian discipleship also has to have profound social ramifications. In other words, authentic disciples take their faith into the public forum, trying to make the world more like the kingdom of God every day, trying to live out God's dream for the world. So let's look a little closer. In this passage, Isaiah says, "No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days." In God's kingdom, infant mortality doesn't exist. Therefore, issues like health insurance and prenatal care are kingdom issues. Isaiah then says, "No more shall there be an old person who does not live out a lifetime." So in God's kingdom, senior adults live long, productive, and healthy lives. Therefore, issues like Medicare and Social Security are kingdom issues. Isaiah adds, "They will build houses and inhabit them." In God's kingdom, every person has a decent house. Therefore, issues like fair mortgage rates and affordable housing are kingdom issues. Isaiah continues, "They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit." In God's kingdom, food is plentiful. Therefore, healthy, accessible, and affordable food are kingdom issues. And then he goes on to say that people shall long enjoy the work of their hands, and they shall not labor in vain. So in God's kingdom, people get fairly compensated for their work. So issues like minimum wage and employee benefits are kingdom issues. People will not bear children for calamity. In God's kingdom, children thrive. Therefore, issues like child nutrition and early education are kingdom issues. Finally, Isaiah dreams of a day when the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the fox, and the people shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. Because in God's kingdom, violence and warfare are contraband. Therefore, peacemaking between peoples and nations is a major kingdom issue. Because these kinds of things are the things that matter to God, because this is God's dream for the creation, these things have to matter to the people of God. Individual Christians, local churches, denominations, and the worldwide church should constantly be seeking ways to advance God's dream, to be a part of that dream, to make it our dream. Now, I'm not talking about forcing our faith down people's throats. I'm not talking about enforcing a Christian law that oppresses the people to get them to do what we want them to do. I am saying that discipleship is about letting your faith inform how you interact with other people and work for the good of all people, regardless of their personal faith or attitude. Christian author Jim Wallace says this, "Faith should be personal, but never private." Faith should be personal, but never private. While we cherish our beliefs and our relationship with Jesus Christ, we as disciples must also live our faith publicly, working to make God's kingdom a reality on earth as it is in heaven. That is a dream worth working for, because that is a dream that will never feel you leaving empty and hopeless at the end. Friends, imagine what the world could be like if that wish were to come true. Amen.